regional leader and former political prisoner in the United States, real Russian insider military expert, Victor Boot, is coming up in about 5 minutes. There he is from Russia, totally exclusive, talking about all the giant developments happening. But first, Trump has named Bill Pulte, who I can tell you is one of the good guys, so I'm just calling balls and strikes. They got rid of Gabbard. They brought him in. He's been going after the deep state big time. We'll be analyzing that later. But I want to play just a local newscast. She was released yesterday. Peter Tichtin, Trump's personal lawyer and longtime confidant since childhood, helped spearhead that. She exposed the election fraud and has been in prison for 5+ years because of it. That is some good news. So here's a report on that. We will go to break and come back at 6 after with Victor Boot. All of you right now need to take the live feeds at rumble.com/ The Alex Jones Show Live and Real Alex Jones on X and alexjoneslive.com/show and share that, because that is what the information war is about. Take action now. This is an info war. You're unstoppable. You're the key. Here's the Tina Peters information.
The last person still behind bars in connection with efforts to challenge the 2020 election results is now out of prison. Colorado prison officials confirm former Mesa County election clerk Tina Peters was released earlier today after serving time on state convictions. Peters was convicted of conspiring with others to access county voting systems tied to claims of election fraud. She was sentenced to nearly 9 years in prison. Officials say she had received a symbolic federal pardon, but remained in state custody until her release.
Tina, tell us what's it like to be finally a free woman?
You know, Steve, I'm not even sure yet. After 606 days in prison, it's been quite the ordeal. But, I really want to thank God for his faithfulness and getting me through it. And, you know, it's been, I think probably for me, Steve, to impress upon every person out there how hard it is to lose your liberty, how easy it is to lose your liberty, but how hard it is to endure it. And, I'm so grateful to the supporters out there that have stood with me. My close circle, Marcy, my best friend, who I called every day. After they kept putting me in the hole, she made me promise to call her in the morning and at night every day. So people that wanted to get me a message could always reach her. And of course, with Apollo and Jared and Barbara and, the other ones that have stood by me, and especially my attorneys. John Case has visited me almost every week while I was in prison. And then the financial support, I still have a fight to go. I still, even though Governor Polis reduced my sentence from 9 years to 4.5 years, I still have a fight to clear my name and bring out the truth of why they came after me the way they did. So it's still a long road. I'm going to spend the next few weeks regaining my health and just being in with loved ones and family, and it's a miracle. It really is for Jared Polis. He pardoned 35 people and he gave clemency to 9, and I was one of the 9. And you see the horrible media and the haters that go after, that don't go after, murderers and people like that, that, he chose to pardon, but they go after me. So there is a concern there for, my well-being and my safety. I'm just very, very grateful. Very grateful to all of you. Thank you, Steve, for standing through with me through all of this.
All right, another political prisoner released. We'll be back with Victor Boot.
I want to start with sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex.
This is rocket fuel. This is incredible. This is rocket fuel. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. This is a cocktail I drink every day. a squirt of ultramethylene blue and T3. You are insane if you don't get it. Insane if you don't get it. Okay. Oh, listen. Oh, listen. You are insane if you don't get it. Insane if you don't get it. I am a wrecking ball. I am obsessed with this. I can't stop. Stop. And now I'm having this. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. Rex. This is the truth. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. Rex. You understand that? Does that burn into your brain?
I think I'm going to buy some methylene blue now.
DalekShowShore.com.
A war. It's happening now. It will decide the fate of humanity. The time has come to choose sides. We are the resistance. Join us and share the links now at alexjoneslive.com.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
Fresh images from last night, massive missiles, drones pounding the capital of Ukraine. It was 8 days ago that the Russian foreign minister, Lavrov, told the State Department, get all of your people out of Kiev now. It was Viktor Boot about 4+ months ago said, looking at the strategy, military expert, businessman, equivalent like Russian Eric Prince, that If a deal wasn't made in the next 3, 4, 5 months, that Russia would just go in and take the whole country, which they don't want. They've already tried to make deals with the U.S. to come in and be a guarantor of peace and no more NATO expansion, something promised in 1991, but that was violated by Victoria Nuland and others. So this is a big deal, but it all hooks in to Israel 95 days ago launching an attack. The next day we go in. Strait of Hormuz closed. Iran has won strategically through attrition. Notice Netanyahu has not denied it. Trump has not denied it. The Israel operatives have said arrest whoever leaked it. Well, it was Trump to Axios. Axios is CIA, folks. Trump saying you're an effing crazy. You're killing all these civilians. You'll blow up a whole apartment building to kill one guy. You'd be in prison if it wasn't for me. Obviously, Trump is looking for an off-ramp here. And I knew these conversations happened before, previously, but never came out. This happened. And so it's not about a facelift for Trump suddenly doing the right thing. It's about ending the Iran situation, the war, which is all part of a larger proxy hybrid war with Russia and China. And it's about stopping this before it derails the entire global economy, which it may already be too late. So this is a big deal. Trump and Netanyahu in a call on Israel striking Lebanon. You're effing crazy because they're killing the peace deal. So now we enter the main danger zone of the Israel lobby, staging a new 9/11, which could even be nuclear. Mass attacks. You have the Defense Authorization Act that literally has Israel given control from DARPA in development right down to secret weapons to satellites in real time. Integration of intelligence and synchronization. And I knew what this meant, but I called some folks in Army Special Operations and others. They said, no, this is treason. So Israel's response to everybody lining up against him and waking up to them is to try to have a full coup over America. 38 states have passed laws that if you're a government contractor that builds highways, whatever, you criticize Israel anyway, you're not given any contracts. Israel is preparing an attempted eat the elephant takeover of the United States. It is total insanity, but I want to just add all these geopolitical ingredients. You got Putin repeating statements that we don't want war with Europe. That's insane. It's your own elites feeding on you. Culturally, if you're being persecuted in the West, you can come to Russia. Just incredible statements there. We're going to get into all of it and where the world is right now, because Trump knows his poll numbers are destroyed. He's destroyed his whole base. He signed on to the neocons that set him up and lied to him. And that isn't defending Trump. That's the facts. He really believed it. He told Tucker and others that told me this. Oh, no, we're going to win. Don't worry. It'll last 4 days. And Tucker told him, that's insane. So this is where we are. And I'm crazy, and I'm a loser, and I've got a low IQ, and I'm fried, and I'm an enemy. But now suddenly Trump is starting to wake up, because he understands this is destroying him and his legacy. So we have an opportunity, I think, here. And I want to get Victor Boot's take on this, to just cover the waterfront, go wherever he wants with this constellation of information I just laid out that all interconnects, and then what he thinks we should look out for. So, Victor, people can find you at Real Victor Boot on X. That your channel's exploded there since you launched it a little over a month ago. Thank you for joining us every few weeks here on Tuesdays, or most weeks. And it's great to have you. I kind of threw out a big gestalt there, and you can go wherever I went, or you can go wherever you want first. But just guessing here, I think front and center for you and the whole world, even more dangerous than the Iran war, it's all part of the larger New World War, is 8 days ago, the foreign ministry saying, everybody who's a U.S. citizen, get out now, especially diplomats, because we're getting ready to start going to full war, which has now happened. And I know you probably haven't read it on the exact timeline, but an expert, you can see it yourself, read the tea leaves, on how long we should expect until we see the, not the special military operation, which it's been, but the full war. So, Victor, thank you so much for being here. Go ahead, sir.
Well, first of all, we are not talking for the full war, because war is really now changed. Just recently, last week, I had very interesting, discussion on my X account with a very good military expert, and we discuss in depth all the new technologies. It's interesting to just, check there. Well, idea what you said, very important. First of all, Netanyahu really sabotaged Iran peace deal, and Trump has to intervene at night, calling and shouting at him and saying, are you crazy? Stop immediately. And apparently, looks like they really stop. So idea is that the same time as Netanyahu sabotaging, Trump peace deal with Iran, so the Zelensky trying also sabotage the peace deal for his own country, which Trump, even in Anchorage, said that they agreed that they're going to push really to settle this conflict. So now, what is the scenario? So they said, okay, look, how we create a situation where Russia just will, never negotiate with us? Well, it's very simple. Let's start attacking civilians, especially kids. Let's kill the kids. It would be emotional, stuff, and then the Russians will walk out of the negotiation table.
I'm glad I said you'd have the floor, but I apologize. When I was thinking about you coming on a few days ago, I meant to go through the timeline of all these drones show up, hit the building, make the girls run out, and then kill a bunch of them, run them back in, and blow the building up. A premeditated murder of a bunch of Russian girls designed. Correct. So why don't you walk through what happened for people that don't know? There's been a media blackout on that.
Okay, this was a Starobelsk at the night of the 22nd of March, when the students of the college just went peacefully sleeping. A total was about 86, age from the 14, 15 till the 19, I guess. So, as you said, Ukrainian drones, flew over, perfectly knew that this is just a college. There is no military targets at all. And then they start attacking it intentionally, making sure that they kill more people. So they, see that they start running, run back for safety. Then they struck the building collapse. Finally, when the first responders try to come, they attacking again. So in total, 21, youngsters been killed in this utmost premeditative murder. And about 60 people injured, many of them still at emergency care. So what was the main reason? Yes, a part of what happened before that. Palantir chief Alex Trump went in Kyiv just, several days before, bragging how many Russians they're going to kill. So idea, since they cannot achieve nothing at military front, because Russian army every week, keep pushing and, pushing more and liberating more cities in the Donbas region. So they decided, okay, let's create a kill zone, which will extend 200 kilometers. If we cannot really reach military targets, let's hunt any civilian targets. Then they start attacking on the, like past Sunday, on the Kherson region, which is Russian side. They really launch an attack on just apartment buildings. As a result, they killed one 6-year-old boy child, destroyed many apartments, burned several cars.
And now Putin's responding, putting anti-aircraft drone missiles on top of apartment buildings.
Well, that's, for instance, different system. We will not go into details because every region, try to work up the system, how you can tackle this, newly threats. By the way, this is all produced, made by the Epstein coalition. All these drones produced in Europe, parts are coming from, Germany, Italy, Switzerland, other countries.
And that's why Russia's threatening to hit military depots in Poland and other areas, because they're publicly scaling up these weapons to attack Russia.
Correct. So the idea was, first of all, they sabotage the talks, which is definitely will not possible. If the Ukrainian regime, coming to terrorist acts as the main source of the war, because nothing else they can do, because then the Russia will be pushed to the line where now there is a lot of the, public pressure for our government, especially many people addressing to the presidency, addressing to the parliament members, asking, hey, why are we not hitting them hard and finish this? Why we need to still to take care about this if they are terrorists? We need to destroy them. And that's why warning was issued that the diplomats went out of the Kiev, because definitely tactics would be changed, and definitely we cannot just, keep doing the same stuff and expecting that these people will come for negotiation table. They don't understand that Russia really trying and being very, very selective in which means and how they've been staging this operation. Now they want the full-blown war. Well, for us, it's very easy. We can flatten the Kharkiv, we can flatten the Sumy, we can flatten all the bridges, we can flatten everything else. But this was extreme measure and very long time. Idea was, okay, sooner or later, West will realize this is a way to nowhere and better them to come to negotiation table. But instead of at least send someone and start negotiating, they told to these puppet regimes in the Baltic states, okay, maybe you start talking about attacking Russian enclave of Kaliningrad so that we can, destroy and flatten their air bases, on which Putin says, anybody try to do that, we flatten them. We have enough means for that. Think of this. Why on earth these people, it's like written, scenario, how you're going to provoke Russia, what you're going to do, and they just keeping doing it. So, okay, look, you're reaching a limit where then the Russia will say, okay, guys, since you don't want, negotiations, we understand you want all-out war, well, why we need to wait for the, for you to attack us? We're going to attack you first. And this is the reason when you come to the gank and they try to hit you, well, only way you have out is to start hitting them first. That's it.
Yeah, when somebody walks up and punches you in the face, you fight back. So I know obviously you're not in the actual war planning, but you're obviously a well-seasoned expert. What just to the world, there's obviously a warning already given 8 days ago to the U.S. diplomats, get out. What are you thinking the timeline is? Because you said, you ought to find the clip like 4 or 5 months ago. You said, I give him 3, 4, 5 months, and then Putin's done. You were right about that. He said he's done now. What do we have a basic timeline here?
Well, I don't think the timeline we can, predict, because we will see how it goes reaction. And this is just, the minimum effective dose, I guess,
Sure. So it's titrated. You're saying it's fluid.
Yeah, it's fluid. And plus, it depends. Again, you see, we have a very conflicting messages coming from the Trump administration. By one hand, the Trump saying, yes, we need to do the peace deal. another hand, you know, then America authorized another package for Ukraine. Then the Pete Hegseth bragging, oh, yes, we're going to use the Ukrainian drone technologies and we will help providing them to fight. So, you know, we start thinking, hey, who is in charge in America? Who is really running the show or who is wearing the pants in that house? Who taking the decisions? Who calling the shots? With whom to negotiate? If you negotiate with the Trump, but then apparently, you know, the somebody else sabotaging his decision or his agreement and nothing is done. So this is a serious issue. So, as I said, Russian public is done with this, you know, and there is a huge push to really start doing something really, really unheard and unseen before to finish this conflict as soon as possible.
Well, you talked about this months ago, and we talked about it, how they go, oh, AI robots. Now it's all over CNN, thousands of little tank robots, all sorts of new drones, because they admit that they don't have any soldiers left. And so they're like, our secret weapon's almost ready. Oh, these robots broke through and did all this. Obviously, it's a bunch of propaganda. But clearly, NATO is planning some type of offensive. They're already launching offensive with missiles into Russia. And as Putin said over a year ago, we see a big aeronautical assault with thousands of things at once. They could be nuclear tipped as a sneak attack. We're going to have to respond. And I noticed NATO never launched more than maybe 100 attacks at a time. Now they're breaking that rule, which seems insane because the U.S. wouldn't let somebody send 1,000 things in or whatever, wouldn't let one come in. So it seems like they're trying to start a nuclear war. It's total insanity.
Well, not only this. Look, now there is a plans, accordingly the what was leaked and what our, you know, intelligence saying, that the you know, NATO countries, including Ukraine, trying to prepare a sneak attack on the Belarus. Idea is, okay, Belarusian army not was really having a combat experience. Let's go in quickly, you know, with a you know, very, very quick strike, you know, penetrate deep, try to capture maybe, you know, some Russian launchers, and then, you know, the try to basically, you know, since they kept some missile launchers with this, you know, Oreshnik or something, they can start basically blackmailing everything else. Well, in this case,
let's slow down. Zelensky wants a nuke. He's been begging for one. You're saying seize tactical Russian nuclear weapons and then use that for blackmail.
In Belarus.
Yes.
This is a plan, and they're preparing and amassing the, you know, troops, which simultaneously has attack from the south, from Ukrainian territory. There is
Let me just stop you, elaborate, but I'm no military expert like you, but I study it. If something got overrun with nukes, the Russians are going to hit that with a tactical nuke. They're not going to get the nukes. Elaborate on that.
Yeah, that's right. We will not wait until this, but they're planning with the three sides. There is would be, you know, from southern flank of Belarus would be invasion towards to the Minsk from Ukraine with Ukrainian forces. Then the Polish army also planning to invade from their border to Belarus. And then the Lithuanians want also to jump in across the border and try to quickly, you know, occupy the Belarus, thinking that Belarusian army would really fight strong or resist any stronger. And this is why, you know, president of Belarus said, hey, if you even think about this, because Zelensky openly bragged, oh, we choose already 500 targets inside Belarus. We hit them very quick. And, you know, we will even he met the so-called opposition leader, you know, who is self-declared president, whom he neglected before. She came to Kiev and even opened an embassy in Kiev. This is all in preparation for this, you know, occupation of Belarus. Well, good luck and him try to do this. It's on the same level because they're thinking by cutting this, then we can blockade and occupy Russian enclave, which is sandwiched between Poland and the Lithuania of Kaliningrad Oblast or region. And they said, well, there is, you know, not many think we can quickly occupy them. Guess what? There is enough military forces and especially capacities to at least if somebody block Russia in the Black Baltic Sea, we will block entire any ports in Baltic Sea. There is a system, there is a special missiles who able to destroy any other ships who are going to move without even using submarines. And you know, the Russia has a pretty, you know, modern fleet of the very, very sneaky submarines, which is NATO called a black hole. And those, despite their diesel submarines, they're small, but they're very efficient to do exactly their job. So let these people think twice before they want to start this.
What's amazing is that every time a regime starts failing, it tries to expand and launch other crazy wars. You can see the insanity. And my concern is, instead of ending this, they're going to try to double down. And I've seen them hyping, oh, they're moving nukes to our border. We've got to hit Belarus. Well, you've moved nukes to Russia's border. What are you expecting? And obviously, there's a bunch of Russian troops right there. I mean, if Kiev thinks they're going to attack white Russia and somehow have some victory, it's completely insane. So shifting gears now into this, we now have Israel with the new Defense Authorization Act, the biggest bill every year, over $1 trillion, literally saying that we'll be given integration into all weapon systems, all telemetry, all intelligence, from DARPA down to secret weapons, total control. That is Israel's response, is having it put in the official bill by the Republicans to literally take over the U.S. military, complete treason. How does Israel fit into all this? I mean, you talk about like a pygmy trying to eat an elephant. And where do you see that going with the whole situation with Iran and now Trump coming out and himself, I confirm this, leaking that he yelled at Netanyahu? Obviously, that's Trump trying to create an off-ramp to blame Netanyahu. I think you can blame overall, but Trump's to blame too. I mean, I see that as positive, but then I get concerned about what Israel will pull to try to keep us in this war. Victor.
Well, I think it looks like, you know, Trump had the two wives and each of them trying to bitch him around, you know. And if one wife did something, another wife wants even more. So here, as you said, integration is not only just purely a military unit, a military union between United States forces and Israel. It's basically deeper than the union. It's integration. So, as you said, it's a treason, because then who is in charge? Who is in control? And why on earth American taxpayer has to fund whatever this regime doing? And this regime committing enough, you know, everyday war crimes against the humanity by flattening and killing in Gaza. How many they killed civilians? Over the 78,000 people, including how many? 20,000 children. And there is, you know, crickets as a silence. There is nobody even able to criticize Israel, as you just in previous section was mentioning, where there is a basically ban on criticizing Israel in which state in the United States. So think of this. This is really takeover of United States by the Israeli lobby, Israeli security service. Well, this is now in hands of Americans to decide if they want to be ruled by the Israelis, then it's fine. But what is ideology? To create a greater Israel and sacrifice Americans till the last Americans, like the West or globalists doing in Ukraine, you know, sacrificing Ukrainians till the last Ukrainians? What is the future? Why are we all going to this direction? And this is a very, very
Victor, stay
interesting
there.
Question.
Stay there. Real Victor Boot on X. Be sure and follow him there. You want to get incredible. I'm glad you're doing more media. Great job. I've been watching and learning a lot. We're going to come back and talk more about the attempted total Israeli takeover of the United States. I mean, you cannot overstate the treason of this. I'm ready to go to war over this, by the way. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Inflation is up. That's an issue. So how does Berkshire handle that with its businesses?
Well, we can't handle runaway inflation except not to be there. But there are dozens and dozens of countries that have experienced it. And, of course, you have countries that have gone bankrupt like six or seven times. I mean, not having faith in the money does to a country. It turns it into something else. Yeah. And I've always hoped that the U.S. never does it, but we are not immune from it happening.
Dollar collapse means we keep continuing on where we are. Dollar devalues. We've got massive inflation. You raise interest rates to slow that inflation down. So the implications of that are bond market is toast, because the value of bonds, the price of bonds comes down as interest rates rise. The inverse is also true. When interest rates come down, the value of bonds goes up. So as you raise interest rates, the value of bonds comes down. Who's allocated into bonds? The bond market is way larger than the equity market, the stock market. So you've got pension funds that are allocated into bonds, right? Anybody that's on a fixed income, banks are allocated into bonds. Consider this, an insurance company. Most insurance companies across the country are allocated about 90% into the bond market with their internal portfolios. What does an insurance company do? It pays beneficiaries when people die, right? So if the asset that they have to sell to pay those beneficiaries is coming down in price, this is gonna have a cataclysmic effect on the insurance industry, on pension funds, on everything, and on the banking system.
And let's be clear though, a dollar being the world currency is how we could just print it and buy whatever we wanted. If the world sees it like the Mexican peso or worse, we're screwed.
Yeah, because that was our get out of jail free card, right? We could print as much money as we want and everybody around the world still needed the US dollar. If you don't have reserve currency status like every other country, other than the one that has reserve currency status, when you print excessively, people no longer want your currency. Don't let the news scare you, but rather use the wisdom, the creativity that God gave you. Go into tangible assets that have zero counterparty risk. Silver was up over 140% last year. Since January 30th, when it corrected and it had a 50% correction, went down into the 60s, it's almost 90. Literally, since February, silver's up over 30%, Alex. So you can roll over your IRAs. You have an old 401k, roll that over. Your brokerage accounts, take delivery of it at home or store it at a depository. If you don't want to take delivery of it at home, we'll walk you through that, answer your questions, make sure that you feel comfortable with everything, because it's ultimately your decision. We're just here to help guide and go on this journey with you. 1,000-ounce bars of silver, 100-ounce bars, 10-ounce bars, or 1-ounce generic refinery rounds.
But then you can roll over the financial instruments too.
1-ounce gold bars or kilo bars, IRAs. If it has IRA in the name, simple, SEP, Roth, traditional, inherited, we can do that. Or you can do just a brokerage account that you just wire us funds, and it's a non-IRA account.
Is it wholesale? And are they buying it back with no cost? No fee. This is the place to go. And we'll get into gold and silver as well. Dr. Kirk Elliott, KEPM.com/gold. That way they know it comes from us. So it supports the broadcast. KEPM.com/gold or 720-605-3900. 720-605-3900. Call and get a free consultation. Or sign up for email. They'll call you back. They can also roll over a lot of financial instruments. This is the place to go. KEPM.com/gold. So gold and silver is the way to go. The best investment the last 2+ years. And you can just check the wholesale price every day. That's what you get it for. You can sell it back. For no cost, nobody else of any size does that. That's real.
Attack rapidly, ruthlessly, viciously, without rest. However tired and hungry you may be, the enemy will be more tired, more hungry. Keep punching.
Front lines of the information war. It's Alex Jones.
All right, I want to talk about how we get out of this and the different angles here. But I'm going to go ahead and just tell you a story that I was thinking about 60 seconds ago before we went live with Victor Boot. I was about 13 years old, but already into politics and history and stuff. And I was spending a week in San Antonio with my cousins at my mom's brother's, you know, uncle's house. And we were driving along in his truck, and I was dialing around on AM radio, and they had something about Russia and, you know, the fall of the Soviet Union, you know, hadn't quite happened yet. And I was saying, yeah, that's our enemy. And he looks over at me, and he goes, you know, I was in Vietnam and all that special operations. You know, I was in, you know, Iran-Contra and all the rest of it. And he goes, let me explain something to you. He said the British intelligence hired 100,000 Russian Ashkenazi Jews out of the United States, mainly New York, with a train of gold to go over there with Lenin and overthrow their country and kill 30 million Christians. And Russia's not the enemy. It's the people running our country. Now, I can later study history and learn all that was true. So I don't need to get all this academically. I was told this by my uncle that was like in charge of like airfields and communications in Iran-Contra. Okay, so this is a guy fighting proxy wars with Russia since, you know, he was out of college. And he was explaining how the cow ate the cabbage, the whole nine yards to me. And then later I read the books and the documents, interviewed all the people involved. That's why the globalists are pissed that Russia's halfway struggled out from under the left and under this. So I'm not even making it about Jews. There's a lot of Jews that aren't part of this. But the fact is the British Empire used that well of Ashkenazi, Russian-speaking Jews in Europe, in England, but mainly out of New York, over a million of them, to go over there and run this. Well, like 80% of the Khazars under Lenin were Jewish. That's why Stalin was seen as a hero, because he kind of stopped that and, you know, removed that. By the average Russian, I'm not saying he was a hero in my view, but compared to Lenin, I guess. And the only reason I raise that is, you look at what happened to Russia and the Tsars, what's Israel doing right now? Same Rothschild, same British Empire, same model. They're literally 38 states. You can't criticize Israel. You can't have a contract or a job. They're merging with our military. I read the legislation, and I called lawyers, and I called Army Special Operations. They said, no, we're all freaked out. This is treason. So the Chinese, we know, are involved. The Russia has a small footprint, you know, domestically. But, yeah, they do stuff to influence. Everybody does. We literally have Israel in this particular lobby running around primarying people like Massey, controlling Congress, bragging about it, and saying they're taking over America. And the head of the ADL said 2 months ago, he said, we'll use the same energy as exploding pagers on Americans that criticize Israel in any way. People said, well, he didn't really mean that. The hell he didn't. I happen to know he's been quarterbacking the attacks against me for 8 years. These people will go for broke. And I'm not just making it about that particular group, because the British are involved in it, but it's the same thing. The same play after World War I, the same play World War II. Declassified. British intelligence manipulated Hitler, set him up. Wasn't a good guy. Had him infiltrated. It was all a plan. And I know Boot knows history better than I do. From a Russian perspective, he understands this, but Americans better understand, Israel and that lobby with the British Empire, it's still around, is trying to do what they did to Russia right now. And Russia isn't even their primary target. It's us. All right? And the Iran war is targeting our economy and Trump, and he's not sophisticated enough to know that. So, Victor, that's my rant. You agree with it? And then let's get back into this Defense Authorization Act that I read on air yesterday that literally turns total real-time integration of satellites, intel, telemetry, intelligence, weapon systems, development, universities to Israel, and then Israel builds it here, but we can't criticize them, and that's billed as Israel getting off our tit. I mean, the boldness of this is literally a foreign power taking us over right now, while it's heavily involved with the British at that higher level with this war on Russia. This is a no-brainer. We should immediately recognize this. Trump should snap out of it. We should have a peace deal with Russia right now, and we should dismantle what the British and the Israelis are doing. Is that an accurate statement, Victor Boot?
That's absolutely, you're absolutely right. And there is no, any doubts in these facts which you just mentioned. Because, look, it's very simple. Russia stands as a main obstacle for the past, at least couple hundred centuries for globalists really to turn the global control over and over. And the Russia always at the last moment, succeeded by the heroic efforts of our grandfathers and grand-grandfathers to repel the invasion. And like this basically thwarts their plans for global domination.
Well, say it. I think God has had his hand on Russia, who's an extremely Christian country. Would you not say it's God using Russia? Right.
Correct, correct. And then the situation, as we said, they decided, who else standing on their way? Of course, this is American nation who has at least certain, constitutional, points who are still working. So they need really to get also cracked down on the liberties and freedom in America, freedom of speech, freedom, Second Amendment. And this is all interrelated processes, because if we understand this is all globalists who really want to set up a total global control, imposed us into this basically neo-feudal system. Everybody has no rights for expression, live and eat up the shit they're going to feed us, and, has this matrix of what you say, live in some virtual worlds and don't ask the question, and they exploit you. They harvest the organs, they do whatever they want, And this is a very, very bad future for humanity. We need really to do everything we can to prevent them even think about achieving these targets. As you said rightly, the Jews, unfortunately, been used always like, active or, I would say, attack command. Yes, you're absolutely right. The Russian Revolution started because there is entire, a ship, a lot of the Jews from New York was sent to Russia. They've been lavishly financed. And out of blue appears Bolshevik and Lenin, who before that, nobody even believed that they can do something. They've got a brand new, armaments. They've got a very well equipped, and they paid lavishly to anybody who joined them. And then they left.
They had trainloads of British gold.
Correct. Yeah. And then they start, saying, okay, go and pillage the Russian churches. Each church, by determination, will hold at least several kilos of the gold, numerous, maybe 1,000 kilos of the silver, very antique icons. So that's why they went and pillaged the museums and sold them by the train loads, whenever they destroyed the churches. By the way, there is no single synagogue was destroyed during the Lenin in this revolution in Russia. Isn't that amazing?
My point bringing this up is we should not underestimate the British-Israeli alliance that's trying the same thing again.
Well, of course, look, they are very vicious. And if we think, we're fighting on certain rule where they're using, we cannot do this, or we cannot go into this basically sneak attack or something. But they, for them, there is no any rules. They will lie, they will, poison, they will kill, they will do anything. And for them, there is no limits. And now we see their outfit, like this techno-fascism, growing in their fertile soil, where Nazism is emerging. And now very interesting stuff happened also, just past week when the Zelensky asked and exhumed the bodies of this Melnik, who was one of the leaders of this, Ukrainian nationalist, who saluted and served in the Nazi,
Azov division. Azov battalion. Oh, even before that, Nazis.
No.
Previous
no,
World
no.
War II.
During the World War II. Yeah, the World War
II. And we had Canada giving an SS officer that did massacres award standing ovations.
No, but think of this. Last week, Zelensky kneeled. He is a Jew, by the way, by the, ethnicity. His family is a Jew. He's supposed to be, basically going to synagogue. He kneeled before the remains of the one of the leaders whom they brought from Luxembourg, from cemetery, who was killed there, by the orders from the Stalin as a war criminal in Luxembourg and buried there. They brought him in the Kiev. They created a huge national kind of the big cemetery for the, all heroes in brackets. And think of this. Zelensky is a Jew. We know about the Holocaust, that the 6 million Jew, major part of them being Russian nationals, being killed by the Nazi regime. Now, the grandson of the, his grandfather actually fought in Soviet Army and was the colonel who passed the World War II with a decoration. He was at least respected. And now his grandson become a tool and, accepted that the people who killed his people, this Nazi who survived in Canada after World War II, came back in Ukraine after they received the independence. And he said, this is a Ukrainians, real Ukrainians. We have to bring them all back home. So, everybody looked on this and said, how it's even possible? But for the globalists, this was exactly the plan.
So let's slow down. Let's slow down here.
To confuse you.
The reason I tied it to 3 years ago when a 90-something-year-old SS officer that actually ran mass massacres and mass graves, they give him a standing ovation in Canadian Parliament, say he fought the Russians in World War II as if no one knows they were Russians were our ally against the Nazis then.
And now
they're doing it again. And even Zelensky, remember, said 4 years ago about Azov Battalion, people said, hey, you got a bunch of Nazis as your main forces. He said, yeah, that's okay. So my point is, this is crazy.
any attempt to criticize that there is a Nazis in Ukraine, they said, no, it cannot be because the Zelensky is a Jew. How it's possible? But think of this. He welcomed this war crime, you know, criminal who was killed. Especially, he brought him back to Kiev, trying to say, this is our heroes. I mean, it doesn't fit into my mind. I cannot wrap my mind around this fact.
I can't either. I mean, why would they give a standing ovation in parliament to an SS officer that put 3,000 people in one mass grave?
Yeah, well, it's exactly the same. So for them, now we understand this is the same coin, just with the two different sides. So even if you are Jew and they killed your people, it doesn't matter. They are the same, you know, the same issue. These Nazis, you know, all this one, because the globalists running the both. The globalists running these extreme, you know, Jewish, Ashkenazi, whatever you call it, Zionists.
And the globalists are funding the radical Muslims. Explain that. I mean, Israel founded Hamas, funded them, stood down October 7th. British intelligence on record set up the radical Muslims, you know, to take over the Middle East. I mean, this is a larger plan. Explain that. And then I want to ask you, we already talked about it, but what do you make of Trump coming out, and we know he leaked it, no one's denied it now, and attacking Netanyahu, saying you'd be in prison, it wasn't for me, everybody hates Israel because of you, you're a loser, you lied, I hate your guts, stop killing civilians. Obviously, Trump signed on, so I'm not defending him, but it does show he's looking for an off-ramp, or do you think that's just rhetoric? Because this Israel's really pissed about this. And what do you think about Iran?
Well,
how can that end? And what do you think the British intelligence working through Netanyahu's going to do to try to hamstring that?
Okay, look. Let's analyze the situation. Basically, the conflict with Iran reached this stand when the United States perfectly understood they cannot continue. There is not much interceptors left for Patriots or for the Thad. So they decided, okay, it's better to negotiate. Moreover, as you mentioned over and over again, the closure of Hormuz Strait now damaging American economy more. And as we said, you know, Iranians finally discovered they don't need to have a nuclear big red button. They have economic nuclear button. When the president shut down the Hormuz, the resulted devastation as good as a nuclear bomb, you know, sent over the, for instance, any other, you know, neighboring country. So they said, why we need to have a nuclear bomb? We have economical nuclear bomb. So at least the both sides realized, okay, let's go and negotiate. And this was very tough negotiations in Pakistan with their intermediary, you know, anybody else tried to negotiate. And finally, somewhat, we came close and everybody announced, yes, utmost 95%, 99% was agreed. And this agreement was done. So what we heard from the many, you know, Israelis who said, no, we're going to sabotage it. We're not let the America sign this deal. And they tried to do it. So finally, what the Netanyahu did, what I said at the beginning, this was to sabotage the Iranian peace deal. It's exactly the same, you know, plan of the British intelligence who are running the boss show to say, okay, we don't want negotiations. How we can sabotage? Let's create, let's do something that the other side will say, hey, okay, if you do like this, we will never negotiate with you. That's what they want. They want the war till the end because they want to use the America like a donor. They like a parasite on the body. They want to use all the juices, all energy, and let the host die because they are just thinking about themselves. And that's exactly what's happening. So, of course, Trump, by his maybe guts feeling, you know, understand that they're going to bring him to complete disaster, and he's trying maybe to find out the way how at least to restrain it. But this is up to him, how he going to now manage it. If he have enough... Guts to say to Netanyahu, hey, enough is enough. You stop. You just.
Well, he's told him a bunch to stop publicly, but he does it. That's why Trump's leaked this. But exactly. So, looking into Netanyahu's brain, the British behind it, it's obvious they're going to set off a nuke or blow up a bunch of synagogues. They're losing their last. They don't give up. Their last move would be, what, a mass cyber attack blaming Russia, a false flag nuke? I mean, I think we really, well, give me your take. What do you think Israel does when even the World Jewish Congress admits everybody's turned against them, the whole world sees what they're doing, they don't give up, what do they do next?
Well, they just, they just keep doing what they're doing. They will keep pushing, attacking the Lebanon, flattening it, occupying it, and they said, okay, we already occupied, like they occupied you know, more than Holland Heights, they went to the, you know, thousands. And now next one, they will say, okay, we're going to go and try to occupy it eventually all Syria, you know, part of the Turkey, part of the, you know, all Jordan and part of the Iraq, like was shown in their project of the Israel.
Exactly. And they used to get mad if you said that. Now their top ministers, Ben-Gvir, all of them say, no, we're going against Egypt, Turkey, we're taking everything over. The Israeli ambassador to the U.S., Benjamin Netanyahu's little buddy, you know, all of them are openly saying that we're taking everything over. Mike Huckabee, I mean, it's obviously to be provocative.
Yeah, it's a provocative, and it's way beyond the capacity. Look, Israel cannot sustain any operation without American support, financing, and the armament flow to there. That's why even in Ukraine situation was very bad, when the United States redirected, you know, all assistance there. Now it's up to the Trump to show if he have enough balls to say, hey, I'm going to really cut off at least intelligence, at least, you know, support. So you guys on yourself, you want to fight it, fight. But then you're fighting against all Arabs around you. Whether they're ready for it, I don't think so. So this is the situation. And
well, I'll tell you what I think is going to happen. I think Israel's going to stage another 9/11.
Well, I also think so, because they're going to push to the extreme limits. And now it's up to Trump. He need not only, you know, call him and scold him in this telephone call, but do some, you know, real show to Israelis, hey, you do this, this will be cost to you, because this is really sabotaging, basically, not only, you know, I would say his plans of the peacemaking with Iran, but the economic damage, as I said. This is what affecting America more and more. Trump ratings now really went beyond any acceptable lines. If he now thinking how he going to lose the both chamber of the parliament, or at least one, but that would be end of his legacy, end of the, you know, basically everything he was talking about. So this is a political disaster. So in history, Trump will be like someone who came, promised to American people and to the world, there is no more foreign entanglements, no more foreign wars. We have to focus on the America prosperity. And he so nicely promised to America that everything would be fine. Don't worry. Just, you know, watch and see me doing it. Apparently would be like one who came and betrayed American people, betrayed their trust, and moreover become basically stooge in the hands of the Zionist lobby and the globalist.
Well, that's absolutely true. I brought up a lot of points. What other angles should we look at here? I mean, you could feel the suspense, the danger. You cut it with a knife, and the Democrats are just sitting back, loving Trump, destroying himself, but this could destroy us all. What other angles do you think people should be aware of?
Well, look, this is, again, everything basically which decision take the Trump. If he is really, you know, understand the danger of this situation, understand that he really need at least to stop, because economic damage will hit later and it would be devastating, especially for American population. There is would be uncontrolled inflation. There is would be shortage of the foods. There is would be, you know, different other shortages because the supply chains are broken completely. And now, instead of making America great again, he will bring eventually the same disaster like it used to be with the Great Depression. And Great Depression is coming, and it would be worldwide and hit everybody. So this is up to him. If he is still, you know, able and understand where he is with his character, I guess if he can come out and, you know, be very firm on his decision, eventually, yes, he can take under control the Israel, and then he can force the also Europeans, because the, believe me, Europeans is a way more enemy for America now, especially globalist, than the problem with the China or with the Russia, where the with the Russia and with the China, there is always opportunity to build up a proper economical relation. Yes, there should be a new rules of the global trade renegotiated. There is, should be a, you know, certain agreements of how that would be proceed, but at least there is a chance, because Chinese don't want the conflict. They want to make money.
No, I totally agree. So we know there's major opposition to Netanyahu in Israel, so it's not monolithic. How would you geld? How would you, if you were Trump, how would you deal with Netanyahu? I think Trump should make a public break with him and say, okay, Israel took out its enemies, but now it's gone too far. And, you know, I mean, I think you should cut ties with Netanyahu publicly and vaporize him instead of doing all this behind the scenes. Or what else could Trump do to kill the radicals in Israel's chutzpah, their bravado, to not keep gambling with the future of the world? How does Trump deal with Israel?
Well, if he is really a commander-in-chief and the military will follow his order, it's very simple. Give the military to order, okay, stop, you know, providing assistance to Israel. Remove the refuelers. Remove the, you know, intelligence services. Remove the emergency deliveries of the spare parts, of the ammunition, of the bombs. Without this, Israel cannot sustain this operation. And believe me, the limits of the IDF, it's a brilliant fighting force. We cannot underestimate this, but they also are very, very...
Victor, your Zoom cut out. We'll go back to you as soon as it reconnects. Absolutely. You can't fight a war if you don't have bullets. You cut out what you're saying. It's a brilliant fighting force, but...
But... They cannot fight without the America constantly supply the spare parts, bullets, bombs. So what will happen if he just, you know, instead of publicly saying something, just put everything on hold? They, believe me, they would immediately start to listen to the Trump and said, okay, we understood, we go back, you know, we do this, we do that. And at least then the truce will hold. Because how it's happened, Iranians... yesterday night issued a warning to the northern part of Israel, you know, immediately leave that territory, we're going to attack. And then imagine Iranians, because Lebanon was a part of the peace deal. He said, look, if we have a truce in the Iran, it must be also truce in Lebanon. So let the Israeli forces get out of the Lebanon, you know, and then we can negotiate with the Hezbollah the truce and stop attacking. But if Israeli says we reserve the rights to attack whenever we feel threatened and they violating this truce, what kind of truce is this? So eventually, you know, this is how we reach this situation. So now this is up to the Trump to take this decision.
If all he right, is really Victor Boot on X, real Victor Boot, 5 more minutes. Let's finish up with final statements on all this. You can just cut the suspense with a knife. It's so real. It's so historic. It's so dangerous. And then we're going to shift gears into domestic operations. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Folks, I'm Dr. Bigley. Today's presentation will be about methylene blue and you.
Dr. Bigley, what does methylene blue do?
Great question, Billy. It has to do with your mitochondria, the powerhouse of your cells. Let's bring out the mitochondria now!
Right.
As I was saying, methylene blue supercharges your mitochondria, which does wonders for your mental clarity, stamina, and overall pep. Just look at him go!
Dr. Bigley, he must have drank a lot of methylene blue. He was bouncing off the walls.
Right you are, Billy. He sure drank a lot. Let's continue, shall we?
Billy, did you know that methylene blue can cure communism?
No, sir. Can I see?
Why, certainly, Billy. Take a look over there.
Behold, Ivan, a Ruski doggedly determined to undermine our way of life. Careful, Billy. He bites. Oh, look, vodka, potato hooch. Watch, the communism is slowly leaving his body.
Wow, the methylene blue cured the red right out of him.
So, how do you feel?
Gee, Doc, I don't know what got into me. I feel like $1 million now. Say, where can I get some more of that blue stuff in case I become retarded again?
You can find it on the alexjonesstore.com.
What does .com mean?
Yeah.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.